The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I think we all know and understand and realize that the Old Testament is filled with many different lessons for all people, but I think that we certainly can pause and think and realize that it is certainly there for the true believer. For example, we are told that it was written for our learning. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us that. Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And then he tells us the reason that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so there are obviously things that we're to be learning from the things that were written aforetime. And then obviously what he's referring to is, of course, is what we refer to as the Old Testament. Another reason that we're also told that it was written was for our admonition. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And that certainly is us. And so I know that we can look back upon and we can appreciate the fact that we have the Old Testament. We certainly appreciate all that's done in the New Testament. But there are so many lessons that we can learn from looking into things recorded for us in the Old Testament. And today, I'd like for us to look at one of those lessons. This lesson that we want to focus on today is found during the time, during the days of the prophet Jeremiah. What we find is the nation of Israel is being pulled in so many different directions. So many different directions. They can go here, they can go there, and so many things. And mainly, what we see through the Scriptures, it was because it was a time of great religious and a time of great social turmoil. And they were confused. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go in so many situations. But we also find in Scriptures, even here in the book of Jeremiah, where we're going to go to very shortly, we also find that it was at the same time that God offered Israel rest for their souls. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and we read, "Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." Now listen to the people of Israel's reply or response to what God. These are not just the words of Jeremiah. Yes, Jeremiah is the one who spoke them to the people. Jeremiah is the one who has written it down for us. And we know from New Testament, it says all these things were written for our admonition. It also says that it was holy men of God as the Holy Spirit moved them along to write these things down. And so we know that it came from God. But this is their reply to what God has just offered to this people during this time of great turmoil. Great troubles going on, and they simply said, but they said, we will not walk therein. Now, I mean, I don't know about you, but can we even imagine that we would make that kind of reply to God? Because what we have to understand is, they're the people of God. This is not the heathen. This is not those people out there who don't know God, who don't appreciate God, and really don't understand who He is. These are people that have been taught by God for years and years and years. God has already led them out of their captivity many, many, many years earlier. He brought them into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. He's prospered them. He's blessed them. I think you get the point. There are all these bad things going on in society all around them. Religious confusion, turmoil, social things going on. They didn't like the way things were happening in the world in which they were living. And God said, just stand and look to the old paths. Look and see, because I'm offering these things to you, and they make the comment, we will not walk therein. Here God, through the prophet Jeremiah, is using a metaphor, or we may say it, some type of imagery, and he is using the imagery of a traveler who is lost as they're traveling in their way. They're lost. This is actually what this would conjure up whenever you see it, more so when we really could read it in the Hebrew. So much in English it doesn't appear that way, but from the Hebrew that is exactly what we would see, an imagery of travelers who have been lost in their way. God is telling them to ask for the old ways. Now what he's implying here is, he is implying the paths that they already knew about, the familiar paths. Take the roads that you know. And he's not necessarily talking about roads. He's not talking about take highway such and such or interstate so and so. It's not what he's referring to. He's not talking about that kind of way. He's talking about a way of life of God, a way of life. Go down the way of life that you're familiar with. Go down this way of life that you have been taught in. It's more that kind of thing. And the people say, we will not walk therein. We also can understand from reading here, in verse 16, that God is pleading with Israel. As we see it through phrases like, stand in the ways and see. Because, brethren, we would understand that after all, we could come to the place very, very quickly and see that it is not just one path. In fact, there are many, many different paths that an individual could follow, could go down. And he's saying, go down to one that are the old paths, the one that you're familiar with, the ones that you know. And what did they know? They knew the way of life of God. That's the best path. That's the right way to go. It's that kind of situation. It's that kind of analogy or metaphor that he is using here with them. Again, here in verse 16, God also tells them to ask for the old paths. Now, the old paths in this way is, we certainly would understand, is the best way. It's the best way. And we certainly would understand it being the best way here. Even though there may be many different ways to go, go down the old paths, the ones that you know, the ones that you're familiar with, because it's the best way. And truly for them, it was really the only way. There's another phrase that he uses here in verse 16. It's the phrase, where the good way is. And this is a third way that God is pleading with Israel. And again, we would certainly understand. I know that we could just step back and look at it and understand that, of course, not all paths lead to the good way. In this case, the old paths led back to the law of God as given through Moses. And we certainly see from that this is implying the whole way of life that is offered by God. So it obviously is the best way. And again, I could say it's the only way. If we want real happiness, we want stability in a trouble, in a world that is filled with turmoil and difficulties going on, religious confusion around, social unrest and social injustices and all the things, which is what we could see. I haven't shown it, but it is there. During the time of when this is happening, when these words are being written, the way of life of God, which is what he is implying here, the old ways, the old paths, what you know and what they knew was the law of God that had been given many, many, many years ago, earlier, by Moses. I want you to go with me to Jeremiah chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 22 we begin. For I spoke not unto your fathers, or commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. He's rehearsing through Jeremiah to the people at that day and time during the life of Jeremiah the prophet. God is telling them, the people of God, he says, I brought you, meaning you, this people of God, and these were the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren and, you know, on down the line, I brought you out and I told you then that I would be your God and you shall be my people and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well for you. I'm going to do you good. This is God telling them, and he's telling these people, as I told the people back then, I am telling you, my people, today. This will be well for you. This will be good for you. And then in verse 24, but they hearken not. He's implying the people way back even during the time of Moses as he's referring to. He's not necessarily talking about to the people that you people hear during the day of Jeremiah. It's not just you didn't do this. These people, the people back there, they didn't either. You know, they didn't either. And we know in the wilderness, those that are above the age of 20 didn't even go into the promised land because they wouldn't hearken unto God. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in imaginations of their evil heart. And went backward and not forward. Now, I don't know about you, but this reminded me when I read these verses and I'm going through this, it reminded me of the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. We can go there. It says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so that understanding here, but they walk not, going back to Ezekiel here, and he says, but they walk in the counsels and in imagination of their own evil hearts. And which way does that lead us? Leads us unto death. It leads us to death. And that's what we understand from Jeremiah. That's what we understand from seeing the examples back in Moses' day when the people wouldn't obey God and wouldn't walk in the ways that he told them, but they wanted it to be their way. And they died in the wilderness. And it's exactly what we bring forward during the time of Solomon. He writes there for us in the book of Proverbs. There's a way that seems right, but it ends in death. With what we've seen, and I said all of these things, you know, were written down for our admonition, and as we saw that it was for our learning. So let's see part of the lesson as it applies to us. Are we aware that Jesus made a very similar plea to true believers today? Just like God did back in the days of Jeremiah. Are you aware that when Jesus Christ walked the earth, that he made a very similar plea to, and I'll use the term, to the church of God, even though it wasn't even the formed church at that time because he was still alive. He's telling us to the disciples, which obviously was a representation at the time of the church of God. Are you aware of that? Jesus instructs us to strive to enter through the straight or the right path. Just like, didn't that remind you of exactly what God told them to do? Exactly. Different words, but it's the same principle. He tells us, instructs us to go through a gate is narrow and it is not easily entered into. It's going to be. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He said it was the right thing to do. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 and verse 24, Jesus speaking, and he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. This is into the right path, or to use the term back in the book of Jeremiah, it's the old path. It's the whole way of life of God. We also see that it was the only one way to the Father, is to go in that direction. Jesus Christ showing us. Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way. I'm going to read in words so that we'll understand what he's saying here. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You think of some other path? I don't think so. It's the only path. No man comes unto the Father but by me or through me. So if our goal is to be in alignment with God, Jesus Christ makes it very plain. There is only a one path, and it's through him. Now, when you really understand what God told Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, that's exactly the same thing he told them. So this is not a new lesson. He told them back in the Old Testament, and he's repeating it for us again, even in the New Testament. It's the only way. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ. The only way to receive salvation is through Jesus Christ. The only way that we're going to come to God is through Jesus Christ. That's what this is saying. That's the path. Jesus also tells us that there are other ways, there are broad ways, which we can follow, and of course, they're going to end in destruction. Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13, Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereof. Reminds me of Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto man, but it ends in death. It also reminds me exactly what the people responded to God when Jeremiah told them and says, think on these things, look and see. You know, here's the way. Think on the old paths, the way that you've been taught. And they go, we will not walk therein. And what happened to them? We know their history. We know they were destroyed. We know that they became no longer a people. Because of this. Here are some ways that, as we're seeing, that many follow. And we also see that these are ways that will lead to destruction. Yet at the same time, we also see that the way Jesus Christ offers is a good way. It is one that likewise offers rest for the soul. And in this case, the way leads back to the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, it's the same kind of thinking, it's the same kind of thought, it's the same kind of sense in the words that were spoken to the people back in the book of Jeremiah. When he says, think on these ways and do this and walk and see and stand and walk and look and see what I'm going to do for you, what I have done for you. And remember back and walk in the old paths, the way that you're familiar with. And the end result is, what did God tell them? And I'll give you rest. And they said, that's not the way we want to walk. And so here in Matthew, it's the same kind of thing that Jesus is telling us. Then in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall, what? Find rest unto your souls. Now we're going to come back to this phrase a little later in the sermon, but that'll suffice for now. When we look around in our standards as we have it today, I think that we would certainly understand someone even saying that the words of Jesus are relatively old by our standards. I mean, you know, they're roughly 2,000 years ago when he spoke them, and so they're relatively old. And what happened to Israel appears to be the case with many today. Now, what I mean is this can be seen back in the book of Jeremiah. Let's go back to the book of Jeremiah. This time, Jeremiah chapter 18, and it says, and they stumbled. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 15. Jeremiah 18 and 15, it says, because my people have forgotten me. Remember, we were reading earlier in which chapter? 6. And he says, there's all this turmoil. There's religious confusion and there's social unrest and all kinds of things going on around you, but I'll give you rest. Go in the old paths, you know, what you're familiar, what you know, what I've taught you, and they go, no, that's not the way we want to walk. And then here's sometimes later, he says, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. In other words, they're trying to accomplish things, but it's their way. There's a way that seems right unto a man. This is more of that same kind of principle. And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up or not the right way. So we're told here that ancient Israel stumbled. And so I think we ask the question here, why? Why did Israel stumble? Well, quite frankly, it's simply because they had forgotten God. Even though God had revealed himself to them, even though God had revealed his will long before the people during the time of the days of Jeremiah were around, he had revealed himself. He had revealed his will to the people long before. This is the old path. Even though God had established a highway for them to follow, a pathway, a way for them to go in the old path. Some translations use the word highway, and that's the reason that I use the word highway there. Yet, the fact is, instead, they turned to many other highways or pathways. All we got to do is look at the history of Israel and to see this. Some other paths that they followed that is real evident for us to see. One is, a major thing is, they split into two different groups. The northern kingdom called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah. Now, let's think about this for a second. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He, God, way back when with Abraham, going way back to that, started dealing with this man, Abraham, and he said, I'm going to make through your family, where all the people of the earth are going to come through you, and they're going to come to me in that sense. And I'm going to make a great nation of you, a family. And so now here's generations later, and what happened? The family has split. You think this is of God? I don't think any of us would dare think that what they did was of God. Therefore, I think that we would all come to the conclusion, it's not the right path, right? I mean, I don't think any of us would conclude that it was the right path. Did God ever intend Israel to divide into two nations? Absolutely not. Then another wrong path that they followed that we can see, many of them, maybe even the majority of the people of God, Israel, who now have divided themselves into Israel and Judah, many of these people gave up the Sabbath and the holy days. You think that was of God? Do you think that was the right path to go? The answer is, of course not. You think there's anything that we can learn from that? Of course we can. Because there are many. There have been so many splits. There have been so many divisions. I'm not addressing the divisions. I'm not addressing that as, you know, as such here. And I know that there are some who have, you know, and many of these splits have gone off into wrong teachings and those kind of things. Again, I'm not even focusing on that, because the major group that weigh the majority of us, they no longer keep the Sabbath and the holy days. More that were part of that no longer keep the Sabbath and the holy days that do. Reminds me of ancient Israel. We will not walk in the old paths. A lesson for us today is, even though we also face some similar dangerous paths, Jesus established a highway for us to follow. just like Jeremiah is told. Jesus Christ has told the New Testament Church of God that he has also established a highway for us. Through his words and through his doctrines and through his commandments or his teachings, he has established a highway, a way for us to go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and verse 29. We read this verse. I'm going to read it again. In fact, I'm going to tell you, clue you in, we're going to read it again before the sermon is over. We're going to come back to it again to see other points. But in verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." It's this phrase here, he says, learn of me. That's one of the paths. Remember, we've already seen, we've already established, we've already made the statement that the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. Now, if the goal is to get to God, then we got to learn of Jesus Christ. And that's what he teaches there. His words, his doctrine, or his teachings and his commandments. Learn of me. Another one is he communicated it through his apostles. So he's taught it through the church. Let's go to Matthew 28 and verse 20. Now, how far extended this is, that's not my point. I'm not dealing with this as being a commission to the church of God. Do I think it is? Yeah, I do think it is, but that's not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on that he told this to the apostles. This is the point that I'm making here. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. These words were spoken to the apostles. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we know that it is not just to them, because they all died. And he's not still with them in the sense of the phrase here. But I'm focusing on that he gave us his words, his doctrine, or his teachings, and his commands. And he says, learn of me. It's the only way. And then he told the apostles to teach it, to go forth, and to tell others about it. So we know that he communicated that as a way of, it's the right path. This is what I'm getting at. And we also know that today we are aided through the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John 16. John 16 and verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For the Spirit shall not speak of himself or itself, but whatsoever the Spirit of God shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. And we have that available. In the time of ancient Israel, they didn't have that. They didn't have that. And we have it. So as believers, we are commanded to follow what Jesus Christ teaches us. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. And he's, I'd already shown it. This is what he told us. And then he gave it to the apostles, and they, so many of these things are written down. This is now bringing in the New Testament. And then let's also go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after tradition which he received of us. Now, is that going to be what we're referring to in the sermon, going back to Jeremiah, the old paths? If they're trying to take you in a way that's not part of the old paths, avoid them. Avoid them. However, we understand that there are paths of men that would lead us astray. For example, doctrines of men. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 9. Matthew 15, verse 9, it says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Not what God said, but what maybe even man said that God said. You go back to Jeremiah. We're not turning back there now, but I'm just saying if we go back to Jeremiah, we can see that that's exactly what they were doing. God says, "I want you to walk in this, and I want you to go in the old ways." Jeremiah was a prophet. I'm not going into all of this in this sermon. Jeremiah was the prophet that was standing up and saying, this is the way walk you in it. And they're going, it's not the way we want to walk. We want to walk in our own ways. The teachings of men. They came up with their own way of doing things. Another thing is, and it uses the terms, philosophies and vain deceit of men. We find that in Colossians 2 and verse 8. These are some of the wrong paths that we can see. Because remember, these paths is an imagery. This is not real paths. These are not real highways of and by itself. These are things where people would take you or where God will take you. It's that kind of imagery that we are to see here. Colossians 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. If they take you in a way that's not after Christ, not after God, that's not the old paths. These doctrines and these philosophies are often packaged as new and improved. But this is better. This is a better understanding. And the point is, they simply fail to deliver what only God can truly offer, and that is what? Rest for your souls. Remember, that was the purpose. This is, you go back to Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, and he says, I want you to walk in these ways. I want you to do these things. And don't you see what I'm doing? And I will give you rest for your souls. I'm not addressing in this sermon today necessarily what this phrase really means. God willing, we'll cover this in another time. But I think we can understand it's something good. You know, this is something good. Rest for your souls would be something good. And so whatever it is that God is wanting, how many of us want it? Well, of course, we all do. And the people back then, you know what their answer was? No, we don't. We don't want to walk in that way. And brother, the thing is, God instructed Israel and us to do something. And to do this something that he instructed them, and to do this something that he instructed us, is to do something that will guarantee, God's guarantee, that we would not be led astray. And how would you like that kind of guarantee? You know, sometimes we say the guarantee's not worth the paper that it was written on. You know, it's a waste of the ink. We've been there, we've seen that, we understand what we're talking about, but this is a guarantee from God. And I think all of us would like to have that guarantee, that he has guaranteed Israel and us that if we would do something, he guaranteed that it's not, that we're not going to be led astray. And I think we would all want that. As with Israel, as with us also today, we have been instructed to set up signposts or landmarks so that we will know where to go. That's what he told them to do, and that's what he's told us to do. So let's see that. Let's go back to Jeremiah again. Let's go back to Jeremiah 31 and verse 21. Jeremiah 31 and verse 21. Set you up waymarks, make you high heaps, set your heart toward the highway. In other words, turn yourself toward the highway. Again, this is an all imagery of travelers. Are we travelers? Yeah, we're going in the way of life of God. That's a traveler. It's that kind of thing. This is what he's telling them. Set your heart toward the highway, even the way which you went. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these your cities. I want to read the same verse in the New International Version. I think it's just a little bit clear for us in our language, our speak today. It says, set up road signs, put up guideposts. We know what those are. Set up road signs, put up guideposts, so you know where you're going. This is the way you're going to be going. This is interstate so-and-so. You know, this is state highway such-and-such, and this is that little county road. We understand. You put up road signs, you put up guideposts. Take note of the highway. The road that you take. Return, virgin Israel, return to your towns. For ancient Israel, these signposts and these landmarks, it was the law of God. The whole complete way of life of God. This is what he told them, to which they were not to add to. They were not to take away from. What God has said, this is their signpost. This is their guidepost. You're to travel this direction. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. This is just prior to their going over, crossing over the Jordan River and going into the promised land. This is the end of the 40 years of traveling in the wilderness. All of those who doubted God in the wilderness, they're all dead. All of those who are over the age of over 20 when he came out of Israel, except a handful of people, they're all died. Because they didn't want to go in the way of life of God. They wanted to go in another way. They wanted to go in other paths. So now God is telling these people who are about to go in, he says, this is what I want you to do. Hearken, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, and you do them that you may live. Verse 2, you shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught or anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And again, the commandments of God, so many people try to limit that down to the Ten Commandments. Yeah, it includes the Ten Commandments, but it is inclusive of the entire whole complete way of life of God. This is the way, it's the way of life of God. Walk you in this path. And if you go that way, you're going to be able to go into the promised land. You're going to receive the promised rewards from God. And he guaranteed it. They were to teach them to every generation. We also see that. This was the next generation that would know the way to God, the way to life, the way to go to experience true life. And so they were told, I'm not just teaching it to you, but you're to believe it, and you're also going to teach it to the next generation. And that next generation teaches it to the next generation. This is what he's saying. Let's go. This is in verse 9. This is Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen. What things? The things that they were brought out of Egypt. All of the 40 years of wandering, all the lessons that they were taught, Israel was taught during all of those land. And lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them your sons and your sons' sons. You teach the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And here's the point, here's the lesson for us today. The law of God, this whole complete way of life of God, is the same signposts and landmarks for us also. There is no other road. There is no other road. Having said that, however, we have added help in being able to see and to follow the signs. He wants to make sure that there are people who are following the signs and that we go in. This is what I'm telling you. First of all, Jesus Christ tells us he is the way. John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The second thing Jesus tells us is, he will always be with us, showing us the way. Matthew 28 and verse 20. We've read these verses. Now we're putting them to a context of how this all applies to us today. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and this is the phrase that I'm getting at, and lo, I am with you always. This is to that generation who that it was taught it. This is to the generation that that generation taught. And this is to that next generation that that generation taught. And this is that generation that that generation taught. You see, the principle goes back. It's the same thing. The signposts are the same. And Jesus Christ is telling us how we should never miss the signpost. I am always with you, showing you the way. This is what he's saying. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And a third thing Jesus says is the way, and he is the way, lives in us. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. We are baptized. Crucified means died with Christ. He died upon the cross. He died up there. He was crucified. He died. And we're to die, and it's through baptism. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So I make the point. The third point is Jesus, who is the way, lives in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me. You think we have any excuses for missing the signpost? I don't think so. We go back and we read in Jeremiah and we look at what Israel did and we go, oh, this is horrible. This is horrible what they did. What about us? What about any of us? It is horrible. They had God. And we have all of this within us. As we stated at the beginning of this sermon, the nation of Israel was being pulled in so many different directions. At the same time, God wanted to offer them rest for their souls. We too are being pulled in so many different directions today. And again, as God's people, we too are being offered rest for our souls. This phrase is found only twice in the entire Bible as the same phrase. Once is in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and the second time it is in Matthew 11 and verse 29. We read it twice already, but we're going to read it a third time. I told you we'd come back to it again. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. It's the same phrase that is stated, that was offered to them back in ancient Israel in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Brethren, as we have seen today, the people to whom Jeremiah spoke, their response was what? It was a flat refusal. It was a flat refusal to walk in the old paths. And as a result, they found no rest for their souls. So a question that obviously I think that we need to come to and ask is, do I desire to have God's intended rest for my soul? The ironic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.